Much, Jason. I didn't ask him to choose North Korea. He chose North Korea on his own. And I'm really thankful, actually, that we took this time to pray for North Korea. Many of you guys might not know, but my family line actually comes from a part from North Korea, within North Korea. My dad was actually born in North Korea, in northern part of Korea, before the war split up the country into North Korea and South Korea. So thank you guys so much for praying for that. We want to dive into our sermon now, and we've been going through a sermon series called Real Community, and we've been talking about how, you know, the previous sermon series was talking about a supernatural community, and how we as a church are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the church's beginnings had a very powerful effect on so many people, and it was because God was moving during that time. And the church has grown since that time. And now in our sermon series, we're talking about real community. Now, what is our community supposed to look like? Not that supernatural community was not real. That was our beginnings. And we believe that the supernaturalness is still present in our church today. But as well, how do we actually live that out? What kind of mindset should we have? What should we be devoted to as we think about our church and our community? So as we've been talking about this idea of the community or of the local church, we're talking about our individual churches. And we want to also go back to the passage that we're referring to as we're going through the sermon series. We've been looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and we've been breaking up each week to go through each of these topics here. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so we've been going through each of these topics each week. And we've been talking about how devotion to the apostles' teaching will lead to a community of high standards. Devotion to fellowship will lead to a community of help. Devotion to the breaking of bread, and we're talking about growing in intimacy with one another. Devotion to the breaking of bread leads to a community of healing, and also a devotion to prayers will lead to a community of hope. And that last one is what we're going to be looking at today. And so we're going to be talking about how a community that's devoted to the prayers will lead to a community of hope. And we're going to be looking at a passage today from Acts, actually from Acts chapter 4. And I wrote selected texts up here because we're going to be looking at a lot of verses, again, just talking specifically about prayer today. All right, so if you do have one of these Bibles in front of you, we're going to be looking at page 912. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Again, if you have one of these blue Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 912. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This is the reading of God's word. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. This passage is very short, but I just want to briefly talk about the context of this passage. This passage is after where the apostles, they started going out and they started sharing the gospel with other people out there. And the government, the leaders of that time, they were not very happy with the apostles going out and preaching God's word. And so they captured the apostles, especially Peter and John, and they said, "Hey, we don't want you to talk about the gospel anymore." And Peter and John, they came back with a very strong answer, which was, you know, "Do you think it's important for us to obey you or to obey God? We're going to obey God. No matter what dangers we might face, we're going to obey God." But when they respond in this way, what it does is that it puts the whole church in danger. Anyone that's going to be talking about the gospel is going to be in danger at this point. But what they end up doing is that they gather together, all the church, they gather together and they begin to pray together. They don't pray individually. They come together as a community and they begin to pray together. And then as they prayed together, they hold on to the promises of God. They quote scripture and they are encouraged and they're empowered and they're strengthened together. And it says this, when they had prayed together, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. When a community comes together and prays together, it's different from when people pray on their own as individuals. When people come together and pray together, things happen. And that's why today we want to talk about this main idea. Let us together be devoted to the prayers. And let's be devoted to the prayers at your local church. Now, the reason why I state it in this particular way is because, as I've been saying in past weeks, some of us, we're not going to be here for a very long time. There's going to be a point where you're going to be leaving this country and you're going to go back to your home country or you're going to go to a different country. And so I'm not talking about stay devoted to this church only for the rest of your life. What I am saying is whatever church you're at, wherever you end up being, whichever church you end up committing yourself to, be committed to the prayers at that particular local church. Don't be hopping around from different churches. Don't do that. Be committed to the prayers at your particular local church. And we're going to be going through 3 points. Number one, the prayers. We're going to understand what the prayers is all about. Number two, we're going to talk about at your local church. We're going to be talking about what it means to be devoted to prayer as a community and what things you might run into when you do that. And number three, we're going to be talking about devotion, what it means to be devoted to the prayers at your local church. And so again, the main idea for today is to be devoted to the prayers at your local church. Let's talk about prayer for a little bit. A lot of us, we kind of have an idea of what prayer is all about. And some of us, we may even know some passages. So let me point to this passage here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we talk about prayer, prayer definitely is something where we can find peace and comfort through. Prayer is something where we go to God and we make our requests and our supplications, our thanksgiving even made known to God. And so we come before God. Whenever we come before God and we talk to Him, it's this conversation that we have with God. We talk to Him, we share with Him everything that's in our hearts. And it says, you don't have to be anxious. All you have to do is go to God in prayer. In other words, don't be anxious. In other words, when you go to God in prayer, He's going to help you deal with the anxiousness that's in your heart. So don't be anxious. I'm not just saying, don't worry. That's not what I'm saying. When we turn to God, God will give us His peace. When we turn to God, God will give us His peace, and so that those anxious feelings will begin to fade away. And so we want to turn to God. We want to pray to God. We want to lift up our hearts, whatever is on our minds, to God. And it's okay to be angry in your prayer. When you look at the Psalms, you see a bunch of prayers there where people are angry as they're praying to God. You can be sad. You can be joyful. Whatever is on your heart, you can come openly before God. And because it is a way of expressing what's in our hearts to God. Here's another passage. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This passage is very interesting. If you know what's in Ephesians 6 that comes right before it, what it talks about is the armor of God. Many of you may know about the armor of God. And what it's saying here is that, look, you are a person, a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are a soldier that's equipped with different things that act as a defense for you and act as an offensive weapon for you. We are soldiers. And it finishes off that area, that part of the passage, by saying praying at all times. And so as soldiers, the way that we continue to fight, part of the way that we fight is by looking to God in prayer. As soldiers, not as individual soldier, but as soldiers together, we come together to fight against the lies that exist in this world through prayer. We fight against the lies that come into our hearts through prayer. Whenever we come together, we're able to encourage each other by saying the truth to one another, by praying out loud even, and telling each other, reminding each other about who our God is, and helping each other in this way so that together we have the strength to fight and we look to God together. Prayer is so important. So I want to ask you, what is it that you normally pray for? Okay, we're having trouble with our technology once again. Let's see if I could do this. Oh, maybe it's just a really late internet. Slow connection. All right, let's see if this is going to work. So as I'm waiting for this thing, I want to ask you, what is it that you normally pray for? What is it that you normally pray for on a daily basis? What do you pray for? Take a moment as I'm trying to figure this out to just share with your neighbor what it is that you normally pray for. Go ahead and do that. All right, well, I've given you guys a good amount of time, and sometimes this happens with technology. All right, so let's continue here. All right, so what is it that you usually pray for? Well, there may be a lot of different topics that you may pray for, but a lot of times in our prayers, and especially if you look at prayers in general, if you look at prayers in other religions, prayer is a lot about asking for things, right? But prayer is not just about asking for things. You can use this little acronym here, ACTS, A-C-T-S. And some of you guys may know this already. Prayer can also include adoration. Prayer can include giving thanks to God. Prayer can include confessing what's on your heart and confessing your sins and confessing that God is the God over your life. Okay? You can use this just as an easy way to remember. Whenever you pray, don't just be a person that prays only asking for things. It's important to go to God and remember who He is and adore Him. to give thanks to him, to remember that he is the mighty God that's in control. This is a really important thing, because if you just go to God in prayer and you're only thinking, I need this, I need this, I want this, I want that, then a lot of times your prayer becomes just something where you're focused on yourself. And after you're done praying, what ends up happening is that you're still in the same state, feeling anxious, not having any peace in your heart. The reason why God calls us to go before him in prayer and to even have some of these things in mind is because only when we fix our eyes on God are we able to begin to experience that peace. Well, let me show how Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. They asked Jesus, how are we supposed to pray? And Jesus starts off by saying, pray then like this. And you could look at the whole context. There's a lot of important things in there that you could read about. But he starts off by saying, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Okay, first of all, that's adoration. That's praising God. It starts off by saying, our. And so here's a way where Jesus is telling his disciples to come together, to pray together, right? It's not just my Father, it's our Father in heaven. Goes on to the next word and says, our Father. You're not a God that's far away, but you're a God that's nearby, that's close. You're a God that knows what's going on in my heart, and you care about me. You care about what's going on in my life. You're the one who directs my life. You are my Father. You are our Father. Our Father in heaven, who's high up in heaven, not just close, but also God Almighty, who is in heaven, that has all authority and sees all that's going on the earth. Hallowed be your name. When I was a kid, I remember singing a song that had this phrase, hallowed be, hallowed be. And I couldn't understand why we're trying to make God's name empty. Remember, it's not H-O, it's H-A, okay? H-O means like it's empty, right? It's hollow. But hallow, hallow, means to make holy. It means to make your name, God, different from any other name in this world. God, help me to see that only you are the true God. In my prayer right now, help me to start off by remembering that you are God. You are in control of everything that's going on in my life. And with this in mind, now I want to begin my prayer to you. If you're in control, God, what do I need to worry about? Well, here is this thing, and I bring this before you. God Almighty, that's in control. God who is so good, and my Father who knows exactly what's going on in my heart. God, I'm looking to you, the great God Almighty. There's no one like you in this world, and I'm bringing my request to you because I know that you hear me, and I know that you will answer in your perfect way. Even if I don't understand it, I know you will answer. You see how the prayer changes? When you fix your eyes on God first, the prayer begins to change a little bit. It's not about you anymore, but it's about looking to the great and mighty God. This is what a quote from Oswald Chambers. Some of you guys know about this person, Oswald Chambers. He says, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. Because it's really easy for us to pray sometimes just with our eyes on what we're going through right now. And you're praying, God, God, please help me with this thing. Please help me with this thing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you're still worrying about that thing because your eyes are not on God and who he is. Your eyes are on the problem. Today's sermon, we start off by talking about what prayer is, but we can't spend the whole time talking about prayer. And so I want to just refer you guys to this book. It's called A Praying Life by a man named Paul Miller. It's a really great book. I read through it recently, and it's a really good book to talk about how we can come before our mighty God and just lay out everything and let that be a part of your life, every single moment of your life. Okay, so I really encourage you to read through this book to learn more about prayer. Now, as we talk about prayer, and we're talking about how it's a conversation. It's where we're sharing with God all the things that are on our hearts, but we're also focusing on God. We can do that on our own, but why is it important for us to do that as a community? What does it look like to do that as a community? And that's what we're going to talk about next. Be devoted to the prayers, not only prayer alone, but be devoted to the prayers at your local church. At this church, if you are committed to this church for the time that you're here in Taiwan, be committed to the prayers of this local church. Now, I want to go back to our passage where we're referring to for our sermon series. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, right? Well, it says, and the prayers. You see, in Greek, you can be very precise in your grammar. And when the translators translated this particular passage, they wanted to make sure that they get across what the Greek was actually saying. And they made sure that they included the article. And they also made sure that they included the S at the end of prayer. Because you could have easily said they were devoted to prayers. Or they were devoted to prayer. You can easily say it that way. But the translators, they specifically made it to be the prayers. Now, what significance does that have? The significance is that perhaps what they're pointing to, perhaps not the translators, but what the original Greek, what the original scriptures are pointing to, is that the people were devoted to prayer, but also possibly to a set something that's already set as a prayer. There's a set of prayers that were already there, and they were committed to praying those prayers together. Or it could mean that there were set times of praying throughout the day at the temple. And so they were committed together to meet at the temple and to pray together. You see, when we look at this passage, it could mean generally they're devoted to prayer, but it could also mean that they were devoted to specific prayers or specific times of prayers, which makes it all the more about a community activity. It wasn't just an individual activity. All right, so let's look at what that could mean, what that could look like. As a community, when we come together and pray together, what does that look like? Well, part of that, what it may mean, is that we could be emphasizing the idea of spontaneous prayer or written prayers, right? When I was younger, I would hear my dad pray as an elder in the church. And my dad sometimes would write out his prayers, and then he'd read it in front of the whole church, and he would start off in Korean reading, "Our God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth, the mighty God, the great and powerful God, we look to you today and we praise you and we give thanks to you." And I sat there and I thought, thinking, it is so fake. He's just reading off of a piece of paper and he prepared it beforehand and he's just trying to sound good. That's what I thought, right? And so what I went on to think was, you know what? Prayer should always be spontaneous. Prayer should always be on the spot. You shouldn't have to rely on something that's written out. It should be something that's coming from your heart. Well, actually, the idea of coming from your heart is true, but the idea of coming from your heart can also be true in written prayers. It's also possible that when you're spontaneously praying, that you're not really praying from your heart. You come up to the front and you're praying and you're like, "Dear God, we thank you for this day and we thank you. It's just a wonderful day and I'm just so nervous right now. I'm just going to say whatever I can because I'm standing in front of the whole church and I'm just saying whatever comes to my mind." Right? This could be possible too. And so the idea is that whether it's spontaneous or written, both are good. And that's why even in our church, we have the confession together. We pray a prayer of confession together because it's important for us as a church, as a community, to pray this prayer. And when it's written out, it's possible for us not to make it something that's fake, but it's possible for us to all together, putting our hearts into it, reading each word, one word at a time, saying, yes, God, we confess our sins to you, and we need you in our church. We need you right now. And we can do that together because we're reading it out loud together. Another thing, prayers can be whenever, or there could be set times of prayer. Now, for the church, we know that there were set times of prayer, because even when you look at the next chapter, it talks about, in Acts chapter 3, it talks about how Peter and John, they went to pray. They went to the temple to pray. And so when we look at this, when they go to the temple to pray, when we think about prayer and we think about how it includes adoration and thanksgiving and things like that, prayer is not, when it talks about the prayers, it's not just about praying together, but it's actually about gathering together, worshiping God, lifting up our praises and our thanks to God, and saying, God, we come before you. You are our God. We together are gathered in your presence, and we're looking to you, and we are also lifting up our prayers to you. Again, the idea is that there may be set times to pray, and those are the times that we might gather together as a church, and it's important for us to gather together as a church to pray together, to be devoted to those times that we pray together. And so every week I announce a prayer gathering that happens online on Tuesdays. This coming Tuesday, we're not going to have it online. We're going to actually meet in person and we're going to pray together. And I want to invite you guys to come and pray together. It's important to be devoted, to be gathering together. Now, I understand if you are parents and you need to stay home and watch your kids. I understand if there are some work that you need to do and you have to be at work. I understand. But it is important to make this a part of your schedule, to actually put it into your calendars and say, I'm going to be devoted with my church together, with my community, to come together to pray together, to come together to worship on Sundays together. And by the way, on Sundays, every Sunday, David McCrail and I, we get together at 10 a.m., about 10 a.m., and we pray together from 10 to 10:30 or 10:15 to 10:30. And I want to invite you, if you're willing to come a little bit earlier, to come and join us in prayer even on Sunday mornings. So of course we can pray whenever. Of course we can pray just whenever you meet up together and you meet up with someone for a meal. Of course you can pray whenever. But it's also good that we have these set times of prayer. It promotes community. We need to do this as a community. Another one. As people come together to pray, and I don't have the time to show all the different passages, but what we find in Scripture is that when people pray at the temple or on their own, there are different ways that they pray. We see people praying whispering under their breath, like in the case of Hannah. She's the mother of Samuel, the prophet. Right? She was praying under her breath. Sometimes we hear about people that are praying in silence. But many, many times we also hear about people praying out loud, crying out to God, and doing that as a community, doing that together. Sometimes it's one person praying out loud at a time, and other times in Scripture, it's a bunch of people praying out loud together at the same time. And so, you know, there are times that I say, hey, let's pray in this way, let's pray in that way. And I say this because actually in different parts of the world, people use different methods of praying. And sometimes they pray silently, sometimes they pray out loud, and sometimes people say, you know, I'm just not used to that. But I want us, specifically at our church, to know that when we come together as a community to pray together, there may be different ways that people pray. And that's okay. This is not a bad thing. Praying in silence, praying quietly, or praying out loud and crying out together. These are all biblical ways of praying. Now, the effect of that, when we do come together as a community. There may be different ways, but it's important for us to come together and pray together as a community because of quotes. Well, okay. Yeah, let me go to this quote. Because of this. There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin with united prayers. What is this saying? What this is saying is basically that if you today are feeling far from God, if you today feel like your relationship with God has been distant, if you feel like nothing's really going on in your life in a spirit, on a spiritual level, there may be some reasons that are there. But you know what happens when people come together to pray? When people come together to pray, what ends up happening is that people begin to remind each other of God's truth. People begin to remind each other about who our God is, and you begin together saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." When you come together in prayer, you begin to look to our God, the mighty God that's doing a work, and you begin to say things like, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, not my will, not our will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When people come together to pray together, our thinking, our minds begin to change, and that begins to stir our hearts as our eyes are fixed on God, as we begin to encourage each other and strengthen each other. That begins to change our hearts, and we begin to feel purpose. We begin to feel and understand what the truth is. We begin to feel encouraged and empowered. It confirms the truth. It even brings healing, and it empowers people. You see, it's important for us to come together to pray. It's not just an activity that the church puts on because we have to put one on just because we're a church. We put on a prayer gathering because it's important for your lives. We need to be devoted to the church's prayer gatherings. We need to be devoted to gathering together, to pray together. Originally, I was going to go through all of these passages, but I'm not going to go through all these passages just for the sake of time. But you could do your own study and look at these passages. The main idea is this. When we come together to pray, we begin to see direction for our lives together as a church. We begin to see what's right and wrong. We begin to ask God to give us discernment, and God leads us in that way to make right decisions about things. What it does is that when we come together to pray, we begin to understand each other's ailments and the struggles that we go through. We begin to confess our sins to one another. We're able to forgive one another as we pray together, and we begin to experience healing. And as we come together to pray, just like we read earlier in Acts chapter 4, people are encouraged and strengthened to continue in preaching the gospel no matter what persecution may come. When we come together to pray, we find the strength to keep going and to continue to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about this, I want to stress the idea that individual prayer is not wrong. And praying on your own, you can find all these encouragements and strength and even healing. You can find these things. It is possible. But God calls us to gather together to pray. God desires for us to come together to pray, to cry out to the Lord together, to come before Him humbly in silence together, to encourage one another by praying together, to strengthen each other and even bring about healing for each other as we pray together. And so if prayer is that important, especially as a group, as a community, as a church, if prayer is that important, then why is it that we are not devoted to this? What are some of the reasons that we run into, even in our own lives? And I want you to think carefully about, why is it at times that you're not devoted to coming together with people at this particular church to pray together? There's this quote from a guy named John Bunyan. He says, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Perhaps some of the reasons that you might be not joining the church, this community in prayer, perhaps. Again, I said earlier, there are some valid reasons as well. But as a part of that, perhaps part of your reason may be that sin is involved. Now, I want to explain that a little bit more. You know, again, what this is saying here is that if you pray, and if you come together to pray even, that it will strengthen you to fight against sin. But if you do have sin in your hearts, that's going to stop you from praying. Let's talk about what that idea is. I've shown this picture in the past before, but some of you guys may not be familiar with this. There's something that we talk about in Christianity called the idols of the heart. Many times in the Old Testament, it talks about, you know, turn away from idols, get rid of your idols. But in today's society, for many of us, we don't necessarily carry around idols. We don't necessarily carry around carved images of some other god. But as Christians, we do carry around idols of the heart. And some of these idols include things like control or success or rest or respect or accomplishment, security, belonging, appreciation, comfort. These things become so important in our lives that we bow and worship at these things. We seek these things for ourselves, and we forget about God in the process. Okay, so let's apply some of this in the idea of praying and coming together to pray. Why am I not devoted to coming together with other brothers and sisters at this church to pray together? Why? Some of us, we might use the idea of privacy. If I come together and pray with other people, then I might need to share some of the things that are going on in my life. And I don't think other people will do what's good with my personal information. I want to keep my privacy, so I want to stay away from that kind of thing. Let's think about that idea a little bit. Privacy. I want to stay private. Sometimes what that means is I don't want to expose the real self to other people. Sometimes what that means is I don't want to expose my weaknesses to other people. I want people to see me as a person that's strong enough, that's good enough. I want people to think that I'm okay because I don't need other people to help me. That's the kind of impression that I want to give off. I don't want other people to help me. Because I want to believe myself that I'm strong enough, I'm good enough. And at the same time as you're saying this, what you're saying is, I can help myself. I don't need those other people. I don't want them to know my weaknesses, and I don't want to go and pray with them because I don't need their help. I can help myself. And at the same time, what you're saying is, I don't need their help, and I don't need God's help because I can take care of myself. But some of you guys might say, no, I don't say I don't need God's help. I pray to him myself. Okay, what you're saying then is I do need God's help, but I don't want his help in his way by praying together with the community. I want his help in my way. And so in that way, we reject God. Another idea that people bring up is that people say, I don't want to bring up my weaknesses to other people Because I'm afraid that they're going to use it in a negative way against me. If I go and share some of my sins to other people, if I go and share some of the things that I'm struggling with, then they're going to start using that against me. I want to protect myself from other people because people at church just suck. Remember? We talked about this before. People in church, they are sinners. And I've been hurt by people in the church before. And so I don't want to go and reveal my sins to other people because you don't know what I experienced in the past with people in church. I need to protect myself. And what you're saying at the same time is, I need to protect myself because I cannot trust those people. I need to protect myself because I cannot trust God to protect me. Another idea that people might say is that, you know, the reason why I can't go to the prayer gathering, another reason why I can't make it out to church sometimes, the reason why I can't make it out to a community group to pray with people in the community group is because I'm just so busy. I can't spend my time in this way because I'm just so busy with things in my life. You know what that heart idol is? The heart idol is control. The idea being that I'm so busy, I need to control my time in this way and forget. If I forget about the things that I need to do, then I'm going to lose all control of my schedule and the things that I want to happen in my life is not going to happen. The things that I need to do at home is not going to be taken care of. I just don't have the time right now. Now, again, I know some of you guys have some crazy jobs and your bosses are ridiculous. They require too much. That's true for some of you. But for others of us, this is something that we do need to really think about. Because when we say that I need to be in control of my life and my schedule, and I just don't have the time to give to the church, I need to make sure I'm going to succeed in life. I need to make sure that I'm going to do well in school. I need to make sure of whatever, and I need to be in control because I'm the one that has the power to do that, not God. God's not in control. Oh, no, I'm not saying God's not in control. But when you follow this particular heart idol, and you make your decisions based on this thing, and it results in going against what God is telling you to do, commanding you to come together, gather together, and even pray together. When you go against God and His ways, it's revealing what's going on in your heart. And what's going on in your heart is basically you are rejecting God. Idea, remember we're using this word devotion, right? You're more devoted to these heart idols than you are devoted to God and His ways. But here's the thing. At our church, we don't want to just stop at, you should do this thing. We want to turn our eyes toward Jesus. Because we don't want to just keep our eyes fixed on the difficult things in life. We want to fix our eyes on God. And so at this time, let's fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. And let's think about what Jesus did. How He spent His time. He spent His time continually with His people. Praying for them. Taking time. He had individual times of prayer as well. But He did go and He did spend time with His people. Jesus was constantly teaching also about prayer. He's saying, this is how we should be praying. This is how you should pray. And He didn't say, when you pray, say, Our Father, but that excludes me, remember? He was praying with His disciples and saying, let's pray to the Father together. Our Father in heaven, may Your name be made holy. Hallowed be Your name. And the thing is, that Jesus just didn't stop praying at that time. Jesus prays for you today. Do you know this? In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed a prayer for himself. If you look at the whole chapter, he prays for his 12 apostles, the disciples, and then he prays for you. This is what it says. I do not ask for those, for these only. He's talking about the disciples. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's each of you guys that believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus has prayed for you. This is what he prays. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, the idea here that Jesus is pointing to is that what he's trying to tell you, even through his prayer, is this. Jesus Christ is our head. The church is his body. Every local church represents his body. And so what Jesus is praying is that you would be one. That you would come together, gather together, that you would have the same mindset just as he and the Father are one. And later on in the prayer, he says, they are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. This is what Jesus prays for us. He prays that we would have unity, that we would constantly come together, that our minds and our hearts would be together, focusing on God together. This is what Jesus prays for us. And so even if we fail in our prayers, even if we fail to come together, Jesus is constantly praying this prayer for us. It goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, it says this, who is to condemn? And the answer is no one will condemn us. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who was at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. This means that he's praying for us. Even now, as he is in heaven, as he ascended into heaven, and as he is seated at the right hand of God Almighty, he is interceding on our behalf. And it goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, what Jesus is constantly praying for is that we would be united as one, that we would be forgiven of our sins because he died for us on the cross. And so because of that, that we would never be separated from God, so that nothing in this world will be able to conquer us, because God is constantly with us. You see, Jesus Christ, when he died for our sins, he died also for the sins that we commit when we neglect the coming together, meeting together, being devoted to one another, and praying together, because we're focused so much on these idols. Jesus Christ even forgives us of these things. And what Jesus does instead is not, I condemn you. You are a sinner. I cannot believe you're not devoted to the church. That's not what Jesus does. He says, I died for you. And I'm praying for you, and I'm forgiving you of your sins, and I'm constantly pouring out my love upon you, and I'm wanting you to realize that I want you to come together. I want you to have this desire and be devoted to coming together, because this is the way that you will remember who I am. This is the way that you will constantly be encouraged and healed. I want you to experience this life through me, Jesus is saying. And so Jesus constantly has his arms out to you. He constantly has his arms out to us as a community. And he's constantly saying, return to me. Together, my body, come to me. And so as we finish up this sermon series, as we finish up this sermon today, I want to encourage each of us here. Let's be devoted to the weekly preaching of God's word, because it will lead us to become a community of high standards. Let's be devoted together to the fellowship of this church, because it will lead us to become a community that desires to help others. Let's be devoted to the breaking of bread and grow in intimacy and eating together and celebrating the Lord's Supper together, because this will lead to a community of healing. And let's be devoted to prayers, to the prayers together, because this will lead us to become a community that's filled with hope. That's filled with hope because we're fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ together. One last verse to close out this whole sermon series. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this time. You are a God who is great. You are our Father who is in heaven. Lord, may your name be made holy above all else. And Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you and to do that together. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.